Appliance Discounters is a locally owned company that began with one location in Webster Groves, Missouri in 2009 and has grown to six locations covering Missouri and Illinois. We always offer the lowest price on all appliances for our customers. We carry in-box and out-of-box new appliances at drastically lower prices than any competitor. We purchase our appliances direct and buy the truckload to receive the lowest price from the manufacturers and then pass the savings on to you. That's how we came up with our motto, our savings are your savings. Shop us at theappliancediscounters.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Timothy Michael Kernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you on the radio program. Ryan Kelly making his way back to the St. Louis area after he climbed Mount Rainier. Doug, how about that? He is our title sponsor, and he's doing it for the kids, friends of kids with cancer.
That's not just a little hike up one of the Cahokia Mounds. That's big-time mountaineering there, isn't it?
That's a big boy.
Yeah, with lots of snow and everything. Yeah, he's got something to be proud of there, and he did it raising money for kids. Ryan Kelly is a guy who believes in giving back to the community. He does that. He's done that two or three years in a row now, climbing a mountain and raising money for kids with cancer. Really an incredible guy with an incredible company. If you have got if you're looking around for a new house and you need a mortgage, or perhaps you're thinking about refinancing to cash in on some of the low rates they've got going on right now, you need to call Ryan Kelly, and you need to call him today. Here's the number, 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. Whether you're buying a home or going for the refi, Ryan and his team make the process very easy and take you from start to finish without all the headaches and the hassles. The housing market, hot. Some houses selling the day they come on the market. Never been more important. Have a strong mortgage lender. If you're even considering buying a home, make sure to call Ryan and get yourself pre-approved. He can do it on the same day you call in. Here's the number again, 314-781-9700. Check out the website for more info. The website is thehomeloanexpert.com. Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation. You're welcome to call in at 314-880-0808. You're welcome to text in at 314-880-0808. And, of course, email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Free club fitting from Golfsmith, the prize for our email of the day. Get involved if you dare. Charlie Marlowe will be with us from Kansas City, where the Cardinals lost last night. That comes your way at 8:30 on the Lakeview Resort Captain's Log. Early this morning, two legends in coaching have passed away. Pat Summitt, the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, one of, if not the most successful women's coaches in history, name the sport, it doesn't matter, Pat Summitt passing away in the 5 o'clock hour, at least is when it was announced this morning. And then within the last hour, Buddy Ryan, the famed defensive coordinator of the 85 Bears, head coach of the Eagles, he passed away at 82 years old.
That's sad for both. I remember Buddy was kind of demonized a little in the wake of the Eagles getting rid of Chris Carter. The quote that stuck with him is, all he does is catch touchdowns. And it turned out, you know, he had some substance abuse problems that Buddy didn't want to make public. So he's kind of covering for his guy, which is a good thing, I think. You know, you're not trying to kick dirt on the guy. And he took a lot of grief for that all he does is catch touchdowns comment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll probably go down as one of the premier defensive coordinators in the history of the league. And Pat Summitt, certainly right there at the top in women's basketball. That's way too young to die of Alzheimer's, isn't it? 64? That's frightening. That's really young for that, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't know a whole lot about the disease, but it seems like something that's supposed to, if it happens, maybe 15 years after that. 64, that means she's had it probably in her 50s.
Supposedly there's a great new treatments coming down the pike for that.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah. I just read some article that said there. I forget what it entailed, but they're very encouraged by some of the early testing.
Well, that's good. That's good to know, because it's a very sad story. She was still very much in her prime when she had to step down from coaching because of it. She was there a couple more years with a lot of help on the bench. Really sad story.
Yep.
And Rex Ryan had said, he hired his brother to coach with him in Buffalo this year. And he told Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback.com, the MMQB.com, because who knows, Buddy is not going to be able to watch us coach for much longer, I don't think. But hopefully he can see this one, because we've got big plans. Bring Belichick on. We got him. That was Rob Ryan talking to Peter King, not Rex, Rob Ryan. And the hope was that their dad would get to see him to coach together. But he passed away this morning at the age of 82. Hmm. Did you see the 85 Bears 30 for 30?
I did not.
He was a centerpiece of that story.
Was he?
Yeah. And at the end, he was unable to really talk. So he wrote a letter to all of his players, and then all of his players read the letter, and that was a very emotional, powerful ending. It was really well done. Because if you recall, he was carried off the field.
Yeah, instead of Ditka, the head coach at the time, and they carried the defensive coordinator.
I thought they carried them both. They didn't carry
that, maybe they did. Maybe they did, but I know that for sure that he got carried off, which was unusual for a coordinator.
7 sacks in that Super Bowl championship for the 85 Bears.
Boy, he was an old school coach.
The 46 defense.
Yeah.
Apparently, he'd had a stroke, and he was battling cancer. Both. The aging process really stinks.
Yeah, I'd like to not go through it. I am now, but I'd rather not.
I think you rather would. Because
I want to keep living.
To die young.
Unless there was a new pill that I could take, anti-aging pill.
They'll get there someday. We're probably going to just barely miss it.
But someday, what do they do? You clone you and you keep it in the freezer.
That's something like that might happen.
Need a new ear. Just pull it off the...
For interior organs, that could happen. If you need a new heart or something, you could have an exact copy of yours somewhere. I mean, right now, there are all kinds of ethical issues with it, but I think at some point we'll probably get past that. The desire to live will outweigh
then what happens the ethics when the world is overpopulated?
Well, I don't know. Well, people are still going to die. Doesn't mean you're going to live forever, but if you could live better the last 20 or 30 years of your life, I think people would take that.
Yeah, but if it extends life, then the mortality rate goes down. Next thing you know, population explosion.
Well, just modern medicine
in
general.
You and I would have to bunk together.
Well, we don't have to do that. Modern medicine extends life. People are living a lot longer than they did 100 years ago, a lot longer.
That's true.
What was life expectancy in 1916?
Well, I don't have that right in front of me, but I would be guessing maybe 60-something.
It was a lot lower if you were part of the Lydia Moss Bradley family.
Oh,
I do know that.
Here we go again. They didn't even make it to the mid-19.
Well, finally, you're on board with this treacherous
woman. I'm not on board. It's a horrible thing happened to her family.
7 for 7. Yikes. Yikes.
Unfortunate set of coincidences.
We had to do a 30 for 30 on her. Get to the bottom of that.
You think people will ever be living to be 120, 130 years old?
Absolutely.
And so, like, if you're 70,
so sure.
If you're 70, you're still pretty robust.
Yeah. Well, there are some people out there right now that are robust in 70.
Nina Hartley.
She's not that old, is she?
She's approaching.
Is she really?
Invite to her birthday party.
70 used to seem like just the oldest of the old. Yeah, and now you see some people 70 couldn't be more active.
Well, yeah, but I also think because you're older, you don't look at 70-year-olds as right on the cusp of non-existence. But I think if you're a kid, if you're 6 or 7, then 70 does still seem ancient.
We got two people running for president that are pushing 70. Do they seem really old and feeble?
No, I'm just saying I believe that I agree with you, but I think our perspective is a little skewed because we're older now.
Well, sure. The older you get, the less old it seems.
Yeah, you see, like, you're 80, you're like, you see, like, an 84-year-old, you go, still young.
Well, I think people do take a lot better care of themselves in general than they used to. I mean, there was a time if you had said, wait, one presidential candidate is, 68, and the other is 69, whatever they are, you'd say, well,
how old
really?
How old was Reagan in office?
He was pushing 80 at one point, wasn't he?
In office?
He was the oldest president in inauguration.
Yeah.
73 bills in 1985.
Yeah, so it's
when he was voted in.
When he was inaugurated, he was
73. So he made it to 77 as president. Yeah, that's getting up there. But he was still in pretty good shape at the time.
And in 1841, William Henry Harrison was 68 when he was inaugurated.
Now that was old back then.
And he passed away a month into his administration. Pneumonia from the inauguration. Fun facts.
Yeah.
No, tell. Andrew Jackson was 66. Harry S. Truman, 64.
And when you see pictures of those guys, they look pretty old.
Yeah.
Oh, well. They didn't have a lot of cosmetic surgery at the time, I'm sure.
Boy, you know what I could use? I don't know if it, but I'd like to hear Trump talk about Joe Paterno again. I don't know if that's doable.
What made you think of that?
Well, we're talking presidents. He's a presidential candidate. We're talking about guys getting up there. He's no spring chicken. And sometimes he says things that,
How old is Bernie Sanders? He's
74.
Yeah. And he doesn't seem like he's on death's door at all, does
Thank
he?
You
I mean,
to...
Could you be any more vibrant than that at 74?
Craig, the CPA, 1916 life expectancy in the U.S. Take a guess, boys, because Doug, you love a guessing game.
62.
I'm going to go 60.
49.6 for men.
Holy moly.
Really?
So these were geezers.
Female, 54.3.
And then you say
from
something
Craig,
like...
Craig, the CPA.
49?
That's crazy.
That's why when you say, people be living 120, I mean, it's like a five-star block.
Well, I don't know if it is just because I'm not... The way we're going with the weapons and everything, we may do things to each other that we don't have enough time.
Well, if humanity continues...
Yeah.
It's going to end up like Logan's Run. You reach a certain age, you got to report to the carousel. Boom.
Yeah.
Out you go.
Hey, Tim, can you tell the white-collar gangster to turn his hat around and wear it appropriately? Thanks, Coach Jeffries.
Where'd that come from?
It's Coach Jeffries.
Well, how do we know what the white-collar gangster's doing with his headgear?
I don't know. Coach Jeffries sent it in.
Who's Coach Jeffries?
Tim's just reading the text, dude.
That's right. Thank you. I read copy.
Well, they need to make some sense, don't they?
Not really.
Doug, those numbers were skewed by high infant mortality rates. Thanks, W. Plaw.
Oh, I'm sure that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to factor that
in. And then we get back to Lydia Moss Bradley.
Right, and you got to factor that in.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were, Doug, don't get me wrong, there were all kinds of ills that face any infant that just was
born. Period.
However, 7 for 7. Yikes.
Doug, do you really think the end of humanity is coming in a short period of time? Thanks, Juan from PP Corp.
Not in a short period of time, no. But to make it to 120, I mean, right now, if you make it to 100, you're like, wow.
No, I think the question was, do you think we're going to end up destroying each other?
Well, ultimately, probably, yeah. Probably, yeah.
Like what year?
I don't have an exact year, but you don't think war is going to stop, do you? And you don't think weapons are going to get worse? Yeah. I would think that ultimately that'll be the end of mankind, some horrible war.
When do you think? Because I was going to treat myself and get some wings. I'd like to get that
you
done before then.
You got time.
All right. Is that a shallow thought to have?
No, you may as well go for the gusto now. I mean, what do you think is going to happen like 100 and 150 years from now? The way we're going with people, everybody's mad, everybody's... Wants to fight, wants to go to war.
I believe,
you have high hopes for the future of humanity, the way things are going right now.
I believe that, like so many other things, it's a cycle. You know, there's good times, there's bad times. Ah, yes, times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're in a very bad, tumultuous time.
Yeah.
And I think eventually the ship will be righted. We'll have a period where things are calm and people tend to get along, and then there'll be another one.
Probably. But every time we have a global war... The damage is exponentially higher than the last one.
Well, but now we could destroy the whole world,
yeah.
So hopefully that won't happen.
Yeah.
Because the stakes are not higher now. It's an end game, and you would think people would be a little bit more responsible.
But when the truly crazy people have the ability to drop nuclear bombs and everything, then we're all going to be in a world of trouble.
Thanks, Doug. I'm going to get the wings today.
I would.
Where are you going to go, folks?
I don't think this is going to happen like next week, but You know, what happens if one of these terrorists gets his hands on a dirty bomb or sets it off in New York City? What then? What do you think is going to happen after that?
Well, it would be disastrous, but something like that I don't think is the end of the world. End of the world comes when two countries with them then start fighting.
But you don't think we would fire back?
At who?
Well, they'd find somebody to fire back at. You don't think they're just going to say, okay, doggone it.
No, but I don't think they would.
Just go to the old standby in Iraq?
Yeah, we'd fire back in a big, big way. In a big way. And it's going to be game on. That's when it'll truly be game on, is when one of these lunatics gets some sort of weapon of mass destruction.
You think I can go get wings now, Tim?
No, I think you got a little close. You got a little. I mean, you can see this coming, can't you?
I hope not.
Well, I hope not too, but I mean, you can see that it's coming.
No, I do think that there's probably, unfortunately, some sort of terrorist attack coming somewhere that will be awful and tragic, but I don't necessarily think that will equate to the end of mankind.
Plowshark, how do you see this discussion?
I kind of agree with Doug and Kat on this one. That if we continue the trend we're on and not fighting back, that it'll slowly just get a little worse.
Yeah.
Do you have hope for mankind, though, Plaza? You're usually an optimistic sort of guy.
You know, I try to look at the light of everything. I'm not a big fan of the way it's going currently, and especially with Trump and Hillary probably being the next president. It's hard to have confidence, but I'm always an optimistic guy, so there's always light at the end of the tunnel.
It is scary. Even our political discourse is tumultuous. Like, we can't even discuss things anymore. Mm. And then you take it to the next level with terrorism on the rise.
Well, that's the threat. It's not people in America arguing. It's not the Democratic and Republican parties arguing. That's gone on forever. It's the nut jobs in other parts of the world.
I agree, but I do think some of the back and forth in this country prevents us from coming together and trying to figure out a way to combat it.
Right.
Everyone's trying to score political points instead of doing the right thing.
I think, for the most part, there was more of a world order when the United States was the dominant military power, and you had a country that was, you know, looking out pretty much for the good of the world. And now, when other unstable governments get nuclear weapons, that's when the real problems will occur.
Yeah, I'm going to get wings right after the show.
I think you got a couple of days, but certainly the trend is downward. I mean, the terrorist attacks are going to continue. This Orlando thing, that's not the end of it. That's just another in a series. Unless something seriously is done, unless somebody really stands up and says, all right, we've had enough, and does something about it, this is going to continue.
How about I hit a homer last night?
Not the best.
Yes, he did. First inning.
Just trying to get off this because it's kind of depressing.
Bud Light's the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After Doug. They were the sponsor of the Wiffle Ball Tournament. A tournament we went 1-1-1 in. And we were no hit.
It's nice that the king of beers recognizes the king of morning sports talk shows.
That's right. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Charlie Marlowe coming up at 8:30 on the program. Your emails, themorningafter@insidestl.com. What a night last night on The Bachelorette. Take a listen to this as both James and Alex get roses.
What's going on?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Just happened.
I mean, I don't want to give this rose out. Alex.
Wow.
Alex, will you accept this rose?
Yes, ma'am.
That's touching.
Thanks. James. James, will you accept this rose? I needed this. Being able to give both James and Alex a rose tonight makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
I feel relieved. I feel like I can go to bed tonight and know that I didn't make a mistake.
I can't picture James sitting down with her and having what I have with her. So I'm a little confused. I don't think anyone wants to get a rose under those conditions.
Wow.
We both essentially got pity roses in my book.
Yeah, I think he probably hit the nail on the head right there.
Well, they both got roses, and it was such a twist there
at the end, you thought they were both going home. You're kind of like, yeah, it's probably the right decision.
Yeah. Neither guy's going to win it.
But it doesn't make it any less difficult for JoJo, okay?
Right.
But also for the audience. And so we're emotionally invested in this this couple of gentlemen. And then all of a sudden, you notice the music.
Sets the tone, doesn't it?
It does. And you notice the music, and Chris brings out two roses. And it kind of picks your spirits up for the week. I kind of feel like I've got a better spirit for this week than had they both gone home.
Right. Just to keep these two special guys around for a little longer. It makes us all feel better about ourselves. Wonder,
what do? You sit down and you watch The Bachelorette, and then you enjoy the episode, and you go out and you shop for women's sunglasses.
No. I already had the sunglasses. And how about Alex? Is Alex right being sent home after the two in one date?
Derek, I think we're talking about.
Yeah. Boy,
the cat was Derek.
Yeah, and he was not happy. He didn't see it coming. He was blindsided.
Very
by the
emotional.
Whole thing. Let's say you were.
He said to himself, "Why am I crying?" Paul Royal, do we happen to have Al? I assume if we did, it would be in the notes. But just asking.
I can double check. I watched about a 5 minute. They had a 5 minute clip up about this.
Surprised I didn't have this gentleman. This gentleman was weeping in the limo.
Yes, he was.
I didn't see the. They ended it with just Alex explaining why the pity rose was unacceptable for him, and that's where
right.
the ended scene.
Doug, if you were a lady and you were on the Bachelorette, who was the hottest of the guys?
I don't know.
Tim? See, Tim will give a real answer.
God. You know, it's tough not to be enamored by what Jordan Rodgers did at Vanderbilt against Missouri in 2012. And I'm sure JoJo's thinking of that. That was a hell of a football game.
Mm-hmm. She can't get past that, can she?
But...
Although she's concerned that he feels entitled.
Right.
Who's JoJo?
She's the Bachelorette. Hello.
Her name is JoJo.
Yeah.
This text says, JoJo is into short guys. I would have had a puncher's chance this season at 5'3 and a buck 40. Thanks. It's from the 217.
Puncher's chance. But when she sent Derek home and the other guy that she elected to keep, they did what anyone would do after receiving a rose. They walked into an empty ballroom except for a 5-piece orchestra and a lady in the balcony singing "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina."
Eva Perón. Eva Adams?
I'm not sure, Tim. When she started belting out "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina" with Derek crying in the limo, that was the highlight of the show. So
they had a guy crying in a limo to
Derek. It was Derek.
Derek Gould.
Wasn't Derek Gould. Wasn't. Guys, does JoJo brush her teeth after making out with each guy on the group dates? Think that's from the 314.
She really does. She makes out with every guy that
Seems
ever sits
that way.
Down with her.
They show it?
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh gosh.
And you're sitting there with your popcorn and your tap water and you're like, this is getting steamy. Va va boom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She has not shied down from that. Mm-mm.
Hashtag slut.
Well, I don't know that kissing makes you a slut.
Where does it make you?
I don't know that I have the exact definition, but it just doesn't. Especially a show like that, she probably feels like she has to. Wouldn't it be uncomfortable if a guy went to kiss her and she pushed him away?
No, if you
Wells,
don't feel it.
That happened to Wells.
Yeah,
he finally kissed her.
Yeah, she had to send Wells home back to his job as a DJ.
That's right.
I think when he
broke her sports talk on an AM in Nashville.
Okay, let's hear your question, Kat.
When you were a single guy and you'd go on dates, did you make out with every woman?
Usually there was some kiss involved at the
really?
End.
Really? Look at you.
Not every night.
Yeah.
How about you? No?
No, because...
The guys that you went with would say no thanks?
Why you? you rascal, you.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
White rascal.
So you'd move in, you'd give her the Vaughn charm, and you'd have a little kissy-kissy.
Well, what reason would you go on a date for?
Oh, sometimes to sample a fine restaurant or just to get to know the lady.
Right.
Sometimes there's a great
or
flick
her brother.
I thought we would enjoy. Look at you. Mm-hmm. Look at you, Doug. Mm-hmm. Fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
I was just trying to get a sense for what you're like as a dashing single gentleman. That's all.
Not so dashing.
You were, I'll bet
I
you were dashing.
I wasn't dashing.
I saw a picture
never
of you
been dashing.
When you were just a young anchor. You were a handsome fella.
I've never been a handsome fella.
You were handsome.
I've always,
you're handsome
middle
now.
Middle of the road. I've always been a St. Louis 5. Charlie's a St. Louis 7, did he say?
What did he say? St. Louis 7?
7 or 8, I think he said. I've always been a
The bar is
St.
getting
Louis
lower
5.
As the city gets bulkier.
Yeah.
You think we're collectively getting
bulkier? Oh, you think?
Bulkier?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but it happened. I don't know when it happened, but it happened. I feel like when I went to Cardinal games, when I first started at Channel 4 in 2000, 2001, it looked different than 2016. So I don't know when it happened. I just know it happened.
And for a certain slice of the population, fitness has never been more important. There's more people that are just, you know, totally devoted to fitness and in the gym, and yet there's still another 90% completely devoted to Taco Bell.
You doing a live read?
No. Don't you get that sense? I don't remember before where there were so many gyms and you met so many people. I'm going to go work out. I'm going to go work. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. That's big for a lot of people now. Mm-hmm. And yet a whole lot of people just kind of ignore that completely. Where's the donut?
I think some people do work out. I think there's just misinformation regarding nutrition. That's what I think. I think. I could be wrong.
Misinformation.
I also think it's tougher for people. You know, that's why in a way I kind of, you know, I'm going to joke around about it. But I think it's tougher for people, especially if they, you know, it costs more money to eat better, you know?
Yeah.
It gets down to it. And if you're busy as hell and you have a few kids, run into McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's lack of discipline more than misinformation. I think everybody knows that a quarter pounder with cheese is not good for
you. People think diet soda's fine. That's not true, you know?
Well,
Anyway, a quarter pounder with cheese isn't good?
No, it's fattening. I think most people know that. They just don't care. Either they don't care, or it's just easy.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're sensible about it, you get a quarter pound of cheese, you get the small fries, and then the diet soda, I think you're pretty healthy.
Yeah, no. I mean, you can almost eat at McDonald's cheaper than you can go to a grocery store and buy food and make it yourself.
You could go out to a nice
restaurant
sometimes.
You absolutely can.
When you think about, well, you need this, hope we got to get this thing, if we're going to have a side, and then by the time you purchase the meal proper,
mm-hmm.
It's more than they can fix it for you in a decent restaurant, not even fast food sometimes. Mm.
Guys, sometimes I go from the gym directly to Taco Bell. That comes from the girl.
I know.
And the girl is a girl. Is that hot for you?
Well, I can't say unequivocally that's hot. Need a little more information to go on than that. I see all kinds of people talking about, you know, their workout routine and they're eating right. And I think that's more prevalent than ever. It's just that.
But then why the rise in obesity?
Well,
how about this?
Because the other 90% says, the hell with it.
How about this? There are more options that are easier and more convenient now. I mean, delivery, takeout, drive through. I think that tempts people.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's been there for 50 years. Drive through McDonald's for last 50 years.
Now there's all different sorts of places you go. More so. More options.
Guys, sometimes I eat Taco Bell at the gym. Thanks, Grimy South County.
I wouldn't even know what to order at Taco Bell. You know, I used to go
like in the mid-1980s to the one on Chippewa near Ted Drew's. I don't even know if it's there anymore.
And what did you get?
I would get two soft tacos and a small soda, and it was $2 on the money, so I loved it.
Yeah. And you don't feel like you're really eating that bad. And I suppose you could eat a lot worse things than that.
But they always come up with new inventions. You know, like now it's a burrito wrapped in a taco, and then they throw some fajitas on top. Like,
well, that makes it better.
I don't even know what it is that you're ordering.
From what I've read, McDonald's profits nationwide are down.
Huge.
And that they're trying to.
But the breakfast all day has helped their numbers in a major way.
Mm-hmm.
Doug, I'm devoted to fitness, entire chalupa in my love hole. That's from Rory Pepperpaws.
I reached for the suspension pin, but at the end where he said it was in his own.
Yeah, it wasn't your
hole,
babe.
Hole or wherever it's going. I guess that's okay.
It's good that's how you judge what's vile. And
well, if he wants to, you know, say it about himself. You know.
Guys, the move is to drive through Taco Bell and then drive to the gym and eat the Taco Bell, look at the gym, then turn around and pick up a Choco Taco and call it a night. It's from Mrs. Gianni Shanahan.
Yeah.
So you do go to the gym that way.
Right.
You can say you've been there.
I find after I work out, I'm starving, starving. Sometimes I have to say, you know, that's enough. I've got to eat something. And then the The problem then is you got to eat something that's good for you instead of the first thing
that
you
get
your hands on. I go home and try to find something.
What do you want to find?
I should try to find fruit or something, but sometimes it's, you know, a cracker. I'll get those club crackers, and I'll eat the entire sleeve. Is there anything better than club crackers?
Yes. Almost everything is better than a sleeve of club crackers.
Oh, man.
Yes, everything.
No. Club crackers are just fabulous. And I'm so disappointed with myself.
They're a little dry, aren't they?
Well, you get tap water to wash them down.
I mean, Tim, if you say, I'm going to treat myself, I'm going to get the best thing possible, where are those crackers on your list?
Well,
are they appearing?
I don't go into the cupboard saying I'm going to treat myself.
You say, is there anything better?
But that's what it's like right there in my face. Oh, there's the club crackers. Doggone it.
You don't put a little peanut butter on there?
No.
A little jam?
No, you don't need it.
Doug, Taco Bell's as bad as any crap out there. Just because there's lettuce on it doesn't make it healthy.
He didn't say it was healthy.
Well, that's a good point. Did I say it was healthy? I said it wasn't healthy.
Now, the Egg McMuffin isn't terrible for you, calorie-wise. I didn't do the research, right? So if you think
two big slabs of bread on there, so you're going to get the carbs.
Charlie Marlowe's on the Appliances Counter phone lines. We got on this whole discussion because I believe it was Charlie who said he's a St. Louis 7?
I think he's St. Louis 7 is what he said.
Charlie, is that accurate?
I think I've always said 9.
St. Louis 9.
Good for you.
All right.
I think somebody's a sleepyhead. I can tell you're a sleepyhead.
Yeah. I'm in Kansas City, Kansas, so now I think I'm a 10.
I liked it. By the way, along those lines, I see my former co-host, the cat, while I was working with this gentleman, you were getting a free bathroom, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes if you sign a contract and then somebody says, I'm not going to pay it, you can sue them and then you get the money and maybe some damages, too. So ideally, that's the move.
That's what happens when you need big league talent.
That's correct. That was a quote. This gentleman tweeted out last night, Western Missouri greater than greater than greater than greater than Eastern Missouri, right when the Royals won at 9:48 p.m. That's awesome.
Interesting. Do you know who Kevin Keatsman is?
Yeah, of course.
He's a really good talk
show.
He's
very successful. He has part ownership in that station. He's been doing afternoon drive there since like the 90s.
So I was on his show.
And he kills St. Louis. That's part of his deal.
Except he's also really smart. So we're talking yesterday.
What are you trying to say?
But what I'm saying is like he'll say stuff for effect, but he doesn't take it too seriously. But so I'm on his show and he talks about the rivalry. And a couple of times he goes, well, rivalry from this side.
He acknowledged it?
Yes. He understood that.
Oh, that can't play well with the audience.
Now, my question for you, Charlie, because I know you were doing journalism and covering what I like to call the Goldberg Cup, but did you get some barbecue? Because I have a recommendation for you. It's right by the, the Five Fox there, the Fox affiliate. Perhaps you're feeding out of there or something. But it's a place called Rosedale's Barbecue, and it's one of the best barbecue places I've ever had, and it flies under the radar. I'm just trying to help your day.
I appreciate that. We're going to get some barbecue today for lunch, but we got there basically right before the game in terms of getting our pregame interview, so we didn't stop yesterday. But I will say this. Kauffman Stadium is way better in terms of media food than Busch. With all due respect, I love the Cardinals.
Wow.
But at Kauffman, you get free hot dogs, nachos, pretzels, and dessert. Where at Busch, you only get hot dogs, and it's in the fifth inning.
Right. Well, Joe Roderick just fired up the car, and he's headed to Kansas City.
That's a great stadium, too.
It is.
Built in the 70s.
It was great before the renovations. Yeah. It was great.
Built in the 70s? I thought it was built in the 60s. Really, 70s?
Yeah, I think so. I think it opened in the early 70s.
Huh. I'm pretty sure it was either the 60s or the 70s.
Nice.
Well, I don't think the Kansas City A's played there. And the Kansas City Royals didn't come around to, 69 or so?
I'm not playing name the date.
I like the fact that the upper deck is tapered around and that there's no blind spots. You know, you get in the upper deck in the corners at Busch Stadium, it's limited view seating.
Well, that's why this country's great. You love the taperedness of the stadium, and Charlie loves the free media food.
All right.
But we can still make this country great again.
Oh, my gosh! Are we going to bring that back again?
That's the effort.
So, you just said it's great.
So Charlie, what's your takeaway from last night's game, and who was big for him?
Well, I would say that Adam Wainwright wasn't that big for the Cardinals.
No.
And the first two innings, it was like a laser light show. It really was. I know there were some weird plays, and I went and looked at the box score this morning as I woke up. It looks like they changed that Salvador Perez error by Carpenter to a hit, because I see that Wainwright now has 6 earned runs and 10 hits, so they changed that. But also, it's pretty odd that Waino gives up 6 runs, all with 2 outs. So there were some fluky type hits, like the Hosmer double that just bounced over Jed Jerko. But other than that, he was giving up a lot of hard contact, especially off his curveball. He just said afterwards last night that his curveball was really bad. And if you watch the game, you're watching the replays, there were a lot of curveballs that were hit really hard.
And then he kind of morphed into throwing a lot of cutters, had more success, but by that time it was too late.
Too little, too late, as they say, Cat.
Mm. Nice. Mm-hmm. But the Cat called it a spirit win. If for no other reason, Maness and Rosenthal both pitched okay. Rosie gave up a couple hits but got through his inning. Did you talk to him at all? He get anything figured out?
Yeah, we talked with Maness and Rosenthal. We talked with Rosenthal before the game as well. And he said afterwards, I asked him if, did the inning feel any different? Because obviously in terms of leverage, you're up 4 late in the game as opposed to a save situation. And he said, no, he never really feels any difference in terms of adrenaline. And I don't know if that's 100% true, but that's what he said last night. But both he and Matheny have said all along, it's really more about just him getting ahead in the count and not walking guys. I know entering yesterday he had walked 21 batters in 24 innings, and his velocity's always been good throughout all of the struggles. He's still around 98 usually. So I don't know what it is, if it's mental or not, but yesterday he gives up 2 hits in the inning. The hit by Morales to the other side was well hit, but it wasn't like he was giving up doubles off the wall and all that, and he didn't walk anyone. So, again, it was a decent inning. He gives up 2 hits, but, no runs, so it's certainly something to build on, but I wouldn't say he's back or anything.
He threw strikes. That's the big difference. Were you the one that encouraged Seth Maness to do a shirtless postgame interview?
I noticed that. And I think when you're shooting that in terms of the photographer, hopefully everybody shot that up high so you wouldn't be able to see. Because I know, like, when the Rams players would do interviews, the PR people would always come over if they had their shirts off and say, "Hey, TV cameras are here. You got to put your shirt on." Mm-hmm. So I did notice that. But when you're standing there, you don't know how other people are shooting it. So I don't know how the viewers saw that. But yeah, he was definitely rocking the shirtless look.
Yeah, in our video, it was clear he was shirtless. I thought, what a ratings boost for the postgame show on Fox Sports Midwest.
And also the fact that they had, finally they have a real reporter in Scott Warman.
That helped the broadcast.
But the downside is they didn't have a real host. See,
that's true. Yeah, it's a give and take.
Yeah, it's a give and take, Doug.
Did you see the gentleman whom this series is named after, Joel Goldberg?
I did, actually. I saw him right after the game as we were getting ready to both go into our respective clubhouses and hold these guys accountable. On my part, he was going to go in there and celebrate a big 6-2 victory for the city of Fountains. But, I know Joel Goldberg, but I never worked with him, so I don't know him really well. Mm. But obviously, he's good friends with Martin still, so I always say hello to him. And he knows that I work at Fox, too, but he seems like a great guy.
It's hard to believe that the I-70 series is now called the Goldberg Cup.
Yeah, I knew that.
Big hands.
There's a large Hebraic influence throughout Missouri.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
so did you go out? Did you go out and hit the town afterwards? Did you go partying till wee hours of the morning?
Doug, what do you think? Come on.
I think you probably did.
I did not.
Ah.
It's a man in love here, bro. It's a man in love.
Oh, I know, but that doesn't stop you from going out and
If there's no tail to chase, what's the point?
We left at like 10:30 yesterday to drive here, and then we sent our stuff back for 9, for 10, for 11. Didn't go live at 11, just sent back a taped report, Doug. Mm-hmm. By that point, you just want to go to bed. So we went to a 5-star hotel, which is the Days Inn in Kansas City, Kansas.
Oh, my gosh, that's nice.
It seems like a long way from the stadium.
Yeah, it is about, I'd say, 20 minutes.
Hmm. Isn't Kansas City, Kansas kind of rough? There's a couple rough areas there.
State Line Road.
No.
I don't know.
Suburban.
I wouldn't say this area is rough. It's not the nicest area, but
yeah, but you're at a Days Inn.
Yeah, it's a Days Inn. I have a rewards card.
Do you have a complimentary buffet there in the morning?
Actually, yeah. It goes from 6 to 9, so I got to make sure once I'm done with this hard-hitting interview that I go get some
Doug,
eggs and whatnot, Doug.
Charlie, how do you evaluate our performance at the Wiffle Ball Tournament on Saturday?
I guess respectable. And if I pitch better in that first game, I think we win that game. If I don't walk everybody at the beginning.
Right.
But I will say I don't think we had any chance of beating that second team that no hit us.
No.
So what, we went 1-1-1.
That's right.
If we play a little better, we go 2-1. So basically, it was all right. I was actually surprised at how hard it was to hit a wiffle ball. I think they need to change the wiffle ball rules to open up some offense in that game.
How would you upgrade the offense?
I don't know. I just don't think you should get no hit in like a backyard barbecue fun game. I think games like that should be offensive oriented. So I wouldn't allow the pitchers to throw five balls, for example. Maybe three balls to encourage them to throw strikes and have more hittable pitches.
I would like to see larger bats. I would like to see Yellow Bat design a bat that has a bigger barrel so that you have a better chance to hit it well.
Big red bats, like the Whopper, no offense to
something like
Italian Americans.
Yeah, it's not like the hitters are dominating the game. I think it'd be better if you could hit it a little easier.
Like, nobody goes to play a backyard game and says, I really want to play some good defense with some good pitching. That'd be like,
and try to draw
like
a
playing
walk.
A basketball game and looking forward to D-ing someone up and taking charges.
Right.
No, nobody does that when they're, you know, 35, 40 years old playing in a backyard fun game.
Were there other teams scoring runs, though, or is it?
In those games, when you have those caliber of pitchers, and of the 32 teams, I would guess maybe 25% to 33% had those caliber of pitchers, they would be 1-0, 2-0.
Yeah. The bats need to be about twice the size that they are.
But in two of our three games, the pitching was, you know, just average, which leads to for a more fun game.
Yeah,
but if you're out there really competing, you want to have a pitcher that can do that crap.
Yeah.
Charlie,
and Wawa has it. Yellow Bats has it. Mm-hmm. We would have had it with Stoles, and we were exposed. We were exposed, but Charlie grinded. Mm-hmm. I grinded. I gave up a granny, Doug. I gave up a granny. And then my brother Danny comes in, and he has a downward plane because somehow he's tall.
Sure he does.
And he went in three up, three down. And then I kind of looked at myself, and I go, that's bad managing once again, just like at the radio station.
Charlie, I was looking at the video, and it seems that you were kind of spinning off the mound after your delivery. Why the control issues?
Well, it was in my head. I also feel like I had some good tilt and depth to my pitches with my downward plane because I'm about 6'4". By the way, I talked with Michael Wacha yesterday in anticipation of his start tonight, so I think we'll hear a lot more about downward plane.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I should have asked him about that.
The only pitcher in the major leagues we talk about downward plane. Just him.
You know, this is funny. Yesterday, I tweeted this out, and it was true. Yesterday, I interviewed Stephen Piscotty before the game, but all I could think of was the fact that I lost last week in fantasy baseball to producer Joe, and Stephen Piscotty hit 200 for me for that week. And also, I traded Stephen Piscotty for Noah Syndergaard. And now, granted, maybe Syndergaard's out for the year because he has a bone spur issue. But since then, Piscotty has really fallen off, and I'm thinking about telling him that because he needs to pick it up for my squad, Club Flip.
Yeah, you know what you're supposed to do, at least by the rules of sports talk radio, really bad sports talk radio, is that you call a player, say, in the wee hours, and then let him know that you're on my fantasy team.
I had an even worse move than that, Charlie. I woke up Sunday morning, bleary-eyed. I grabbed my phone to see if I needed to pick up a pitcher or something, and I tried to pick up a guy. And then when I went to cut a guy to make room on my roster, I mistakenly hit Matz instead of Moya, so I cut Steven Matz.
Oh, my
word.
Well,
I saw that.
Just with a wrong touch of the button.
And then I noticed that.
Couldn't
and
call
that
it
he
back.
Has bone spurs, but I thought he was out for the year once you cut him.
No, I mistakenly did it. My thumb was too big, and it went to the wrong player.
Why didn't you make fun of Goldberg?
Yeah, and it was my thumb that did it.
I thought it was a computer.
As soon as I did it, I said, oh, Lord.
Computer glitch.
It's what
not
it was.
Your fault. Not your fault.
Yeah, I blame malware.
Malware.
Well, I wish I would have known that. I would have picked up Steven Matz.
Somebody else picked him up.
Damn it. I like to have the number one waiver pick.
Yeah, it was a mistaken touch of the button.
Charlie and I are going heads up this week. This is a showdown. This is one that kind of everybody had circled on their calendars. Doug, have you been watching it?
I haven't paid much attention at all. My team's
it's
got
the
nothing.
Showdown.
Nice.
Doug's a deadbeat owner, and he doesn't want to be a deadbeat owner.
I don't want to.
But he's releasing top five pitchers.
But, boy, when your team is really bad, it's hard to stay into it every night.
Charlie, are you feeding from the Five Fox or whatever it is there? Or you have a truck? You have your own truck?
Live View. Live View has changed the game in local TV. You can go live from anywhere with this little backpack, and you can be anywhere in the world.
Unless a lot of people are on their cell phones, right?
Yeah, sometimes you have some issues in terms of signal strength. I would say most of the time it's pretty good. The only problem is, Doug, you probably know this. Usually you have a solid, let's say, 3-second delay, but other than that, it's pretty good. And you have to use your cell phone instead of an IFB, but I don't want to get too jargony with you.
No, I wouldn't. It's way over the head of most people. Couldn't possibly understand what we do.
No.
I also want to say I really appreciate the fact that when I woke up this morning to do this interview that when you guys called me, and how about Sea Monster? This guy texts me and says, hey, can we call your landline in the hotel room? I mean, that's a guy who cares about the little things. Mm-hmm. But also the fact that you guys were talking about Club Crackers when I called on.
Yeah.
That was a really good discussion.
It's a strong topic. Doug apparently really enjoys the Club Crackers. White Collar Gangster, who is your chief lemming, Charlie, says, I have to go fire and walk out one of my contractors right now. Blessed, though, to get into my car and hear my boy's voice. That comes from the White Collar Gangster. White Collar Gangster's firing people, Doug.
Wow. Yeah, he's a good dude. Him and Tawny, that's a good couple.
Yeah, Tawny engaged in heated lesbianism with one of our salespeople's girlfriends after the tournament. Charlie, you missed out on
that. Who was that? I couldn't tell from the picture.
I didn't meet her, but I asked Drew Jolly, one of our sales guys, and he said, yep, I can confirm that was my girlfriend. So that's great. This is really getting to a nice point here where everybody's just starting to sleep with each other.
As it should be.
Yep.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What's wrong with that, Doug?
Doug, who are you sleeping with?
With the company? No one that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, you know, I could have been drunk. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Chuckles, do you drive back tonight or do you get another night at the Days Inn?
Well, we're definitely driving back tonight. I think we might actually leave after our 5 and 6 o'clock live shots. We may stay for the game, but we haven't really decided yet. Yeah. Either way, we're going to be driving back either about 6:30 or after the game.
Is it up to you? They go, the game doesn't matter as long as we see your beautiful hair in the broadcast.
That is nice.
Point.
That's
true.
Nice lid. I'm jealous of that.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, the game ends at 10, so we probably get some sound on at 10 and 11. But the fact the Cardinals are back the next day at Busch, we can get sound then. So staying for the whole game doesn't really have that much bang for your buck, Cat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it is the Goldberg Cup.
It is the Goldberg Cup, but now how do you judge the Goldberg Cup? Is it two sets of two? Mm. I mean, because the Cardinals can't obviously win this little series in KC. They're going to have to sweep the next three games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you just judge it by who Goldberg likes.
You let him decide. Royals, right?
Yeah, that would be the Royals. Even if it's just a spirit win for them.
Martin calls him Johnny Royal.
Johnny Royal. Chuckles, thanks for dropping by and getting up this early. I appreciate it. I know it's no fun when you've been up late, but thank you so much, sir.
No problem. No problem. Enjoyed it.
Drive safely. Drive safely. We miss you.
There's Charles Leonard. It's his code name, Doug. Charles Leonard.
Leonard. His middle name.
Code name. It's his code name.
And now that the listeners know where Charlie is staying, why not give him a call?
I've been blessed enough to have that happen at the Palazzo.
Really?
I've been blessed enough to have that happen on the road.
Oh, you don't have a nom de plume?
No.
Just in.
Well, now.
Strangers call you?
Yeah, I've had that happen.
And say what?
One left a message saying, please call Deke Dotem immediately. Right. They make no secret of where I always stay, the Palazzo. I will be there in 48 hours.
That's not too big of a hassle, though, is it, to have a message?
Well, there
on
was
your phone?
One night, I guess whenever I was there, 3 weeks ago, and we had it was a night where we happened to be out until like 6, Las Vegas time, 6. And on those are just brutal in general, because if you get a good night's sleep, now you're sleeping until 2, which is really like 4 to your body. But anyway, I always have my phone put on Do Not Disturb. There's no point in having, it's kind of like answering the door. There's no upside to the phone
unless there was some emergency in your personal life.
No. So somebody got through somehow, and the phone was ringing like at 11, which really isn't that big of a deal. So whoever was calling was probably in St. Louis just doing it to be an ass at 1, and yet that was way too early for me, and it screwed me up for the entire day.
Well, I'm sorry that that happened. So that's now a horrible, horrible thing.
Now I need to check in. I think I'll check in under Lexington Steel, so that way nobody will know what name to ask for.
But they had to have your cell phone.
No, this is the hotel phone.
Oh,
that's what
hotel.
I'm talking about.
Okay.
The hotel phone.
By the way, Keatsman said, I got to ask you, how did you get the nickname The Cat? You didn't have it when you were in Kansas City. It's a terrible story.
We got to come up with a better story for it. Well, because it really is not a good story.
I told him, I said, you work in sports talk radio, so you know there's a huge lack of creativity.
Coming up, we'll tell you why the Rams.
Why don't you just say you rescued some cat from a sewer drain or something?
Because I don't generally like to lie.
Or you're quick as a cat. You have cat-like reflexes.
There's the creativity. Yeah. There's the creativity and innovation.
I think the fact that there really is no story kind of sums up my lack of a career anyway. So it's kind of fitting.
Doug, I threw 20 scoreless innings Saturday. Thanks, and suck me sideways, beautiful.
Who
Blumpkin Pumpkin. He went topless.
Blumpkin Pumpkin has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 3 days' time.
Oh, wow.
Two for being vile, another day for going topless. So Blumpkin Pumpkin finds his name in the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule.
Doug, you guys should think about playing gentlemen's rules wiffle ball. Is there a gentlemen's rule like in England they play?
I assume there might be.
Pitcher has to throw at moderate speed, and the emphasis is truly on ball movement, not movement and speed. Much more fun to play and watch. To balance things out, the batter only gets one strike via missed swing.
It'd be too hard to judge. What's moderate speed? You just need bigger bats. You got a tiny, skinny little bat with no weight behind it, and it's a bat ill suited for the purpose.
Foul ball or the hitting of the strike zone placard. You like that?
No, don't say placard.
Well, you don't give the pitcher five balls. That's the answer right there. You give him three, and
then
they.
It's too hard to throw a strike. If you wanted to throw it right down the middle, it's hard to do it. I blame the holes in the ball.
I blame the fact that you had shoulder issue, because I think if you would have pitched, it would have been a different story.
No, I've never been a pitcher.
Because you would have never pitched for
us. No, I'm not a pitcher.
You would have summoned, that doesn't matter, he would have summoned greatness out of that arm.
I don't think so.
Doug, Captain Jim's Fireworks, it's located at Highway 367 between the bridges in West Alton, Missouri, in the same parking lot as Dirt Cheap. They're open year-round. And that's unlike most fireworks stands that close after the 4th of July. 4th of July, just 6 days away. Oh, how nice to have a three-day weekend. Where will you be going, St. Louisans?
Oh, I'll probably be working.
Okay.
I imagine that the lady journalism will have her hooks
in me. You don't have
your
schedule yet?
The cat, you'll be here because the Brewers are in town.
I'll be here.
Who are the Cardinals play on 4th of July? The Royals, then the Brewers, and then... Yankees?
Pittsburgh's in town.
Ah, the irate pirate. They have a no-dud guarantee at Captain Jim's Fireworks. If you have an item that does not fire properly, just bring it back and they'll exchange it. No questions asked. They're the oldest family-run stand in St. Louis, operating from the same location since 1947. Mention CBS Sports 920 and you get 10% off your entire purchase at Captain Jim's Fireworks. Captain Jim's Fireworks for your 4th of July fireworks needs. Tease Farms 9 o'clock hour coming your way. We will have the email today, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Three more emails of the day to go in the month of June. Cucky the Dwarf is leading.
Mm-hmm.
And a win today could at least clinch a tie.
So it's a big day.
Yeah, no, this is exciting. An hour away from it.
And what's the prize for winning this month?
Cardinal tickets, box seats.
Oh.
What's the word, Seamonster?
Well, you have only four people are still alive.
Wow.
A month. Because you've got Cucky with five, Matt who bowls at Hanks with four, and then you have Misty Plops and Barnhart Brawler with two. They would need to win out in order to
That's
going
to be tough to do.
Cucky.
To win three in a row is really unheard
Maybe
of.
Maybe if Cucky wins, he can take the tickets and sell them and buy some shirts.
You don't like his half shirt, bro?
Well, no, he doesn't seem to have a shirt yet that covers his whole.
He threw 20 scoreless innings. Give him his due.
That was
the Blumpkin Pumpkin.
Same guy, right? Aren't they the same
could
guy?
Could be. I don't know.
Did you meet the Blumpkin Pumpkin?
Let me just read this to give you an idea of the audience. This will be good for advertisers. These are three straight texts. Hey, Doug, I have a thick stick you can swing. Swing with both hands, baby. Then the next text, different phone number. We get it. Doug likes a nice, thick, heavy stick. No surprise. The St. Peter's Lemming. And then the next one comes from Dixon. Doug, my bat is thick and veiny.
Who was the last one? Dixon?
Dixon.
He's been suspended. A period of 2 days' time. His name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule, six locations.
Oh, he threw the pen.
Did you hear that? I heard it.
That indicates disgust.
Well, you did open the door to that.
No, I didn't. All I said is that they need to redesign the wiffle ball bat a little bit and make it larger. Bring some hitting into the game.
Dixon.
I don't know how you could argue with that.
Well, you played college baseball. I thought you'd do better.
Well, you don't. That's,
I had high hopes for you,
different type of hitting. It's a fun game. These wiffle ball tournaments are fun.
You see the ball, you hit the ball. Now get out there, sailor.
A well-known face of the Cardinals in April in a huge brawl last night. We'll tell you who and where coming up in the Tease Farm's 9 o'clock hour. It's a Ryan Kelly for you.